Good morning. Today we continue the series on the fourth servant song recorded by the prophet Isaiah in the biblical book that bears his name. The fourth servant song has as its subject the atoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah prophesied concerning Jesus' death 700 years before the crucifixion took place. Specifically, the fourth servant song is found in Isaiah 52 verse 13 to Isaiah 53 verse 12. Today we will continue to look at Isaiah 53 verse 10, which reads, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." Last Sunday, we focused on the first line of verse 10, which states, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." This week, we will look at the last line of verse 10, which reads, "And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." The pleasure of the Lord is another way of speaking about the glory of the Lord. God's glory is the public display of who he really is. This would include the display of God as truth, as awesome, as wonderful, as sovereign, as beautiful, as holy, as truth, and as love. The glory of God is the subject of verse 10. In the first line of verse 10, God received glory in the bruising of his son. In the last line of verse 10, God receives glory by what the death of his son accomplished. Jesus' whole life was one in which his highest priority was to bring glory to God the Father. Everything Jesus did in life and death, he did for the glory of his Father. Why did God the Father bruise his son and bring him to grief? The Father did it to resolve the dissonance between his love for his own glory and his love for sinners. So, to save sinners and at the same time magnify the worth of his glory, God laid our sin on Jesus and abandoned him to the shame and slaughter of the cross. In the death and resurrection of Jesus, the two themes of God's love for his own glory and his love for sinners are resolved. Sin is diametrically opposed to the glory of God. Hence we read in Romans 3:23, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." The Apostle Paul means by this reference that sinners have fallen short of prizing the glory of God. Sinners have instead exchanged the glory of God for something else. That something else might be for pseudo images of glory, such as a nice big house, a spanking new luxury vehicle, or vacations to exotic resorts. These things are not intrinsically evil. All these things have their place. The problem is when anything takes the place that God should occupy in our lives. The problem is when these things displace God in one's life and are elevated to pride of place. God made us human beings for his own glory. We were not made for our own glory. We were not made for our own happiness apart from who we are in Christ. Our joy is to be located in our relationship with God. This is epitomized in Revelation 4 verse 11, where the four living creatures and the 24 elders worshiped God and said, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." The Westminster Shorter Catechism captures the essence of Revelation 4:11 when it asks in question 1, "What is the chief end or purpose of man?" The Catechism answers the question, "Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever." In other words, the reason human beings exist is to glorify God and to enjoy God forever. Our pleasure and happiness is in God Himself. Well does the psalmist say in Psalm 16, verse 11, "In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Jesus wants us to see that His willingness to lose His life on the cross of Calvary was because of His love for the glory of the Father. This is how the worth of God's glory is magnified in the death of Jesus. In John 17, verse 4, Jesus prayed, saying, "I have glorified you, Father, on the earth. I have finished the work which you, Father, have given me to do." All of Jesus' work was designed to honor the worth of His Father's glory. Everything Jesus suffered, He suffered for the sake of God's glory. Therefore, all His pain and shame and humiliation and ridicule on the cross served to magnify the Father's glory, because they showed how infinitely valuable God's glory is, that such a loss should be suffered to demonstrate its worth. God's pleasure was in the great success of what Jesus accomplished in His suffering on the cross. The success is mentioned in the third and fourth lines of verse 10. "When you make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed, He shall prolong His days." This means that Jesus will never die again. This also means that on the merits of His death, Jesus has guaranteed that others will be birthed by the gospel and thus become His spiritual offspring. Consequently, such offspring shall enjoy eternity with Jesus. This is the undergirding idea of Hebrews 2 verse 10, where it says, "For it was fitting for Him," Jesus, "for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory." Also in Hebrews 2 verse 13, there is reinforced there the same point about Christ taking many with Him to glory. When Jesus says there, "Here I am, and the children God has given me." When verse 10 states that the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand, the hand that is referenced there is no other hand but the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is another way of saying the Father's glory will cause the ministry of Christ to yield its fruit, that it may not be thought that Jesus suffered on the cross in vain. Christ will see to it that the pleasure of God the Father is accomplished. Christ will see to it that the glory of God the Father is accomplished. Christ is the best project manager ever. Christ is going to see to it that what God the Father has planned in salvation will indeed be accomplished. God's purposes and plans will be accomplished because such is the hand of Christ, because such is the reliability of Christ, because such is the abiding effect of Christ's success and accomplishment on the cross. Success in God's eyes does not relate to money, praise, position, status, or worldly success that a person gains for himself. Success is in bringing glory to God, even if it means laying down one's life. Success is in not being possessed by one's possessions, but allowing God to be the possessor of one's possessions. So, my Christian friends, the question is, what sacrifices are you willing to make for the sake of the glory of God? And you, my non-Christian friends, the question is, will you bring glory to God by surrendering your life to Christ? Jesus Christ said of himself in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Will you be among the spiritual offspring that will be with Jesus in eternity? Nothing brings God greater glory than when a sinner repents of his or her sins and surrenders his or her life to the Lord. We will continue the series on the fourth servant song next week. Until then, may Christ bless you greatly.